The Local Thread.
Hello, my name is Stacy Fowler of Pursuit Magazine. Welcome to A Moment of Truth. Today we are talking small business, and we have some amazing guests for you today. So we're going to start out with our first, which is Ms. Ebony Carter. Ebony is VP of Minority Business Services with the MBAC at the Toledo Regional Chamber of Commerce. Welcome, Ebony.
Thank you, Soar. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited for you to be here. This is going to be amazing. So as Ebony just said, Soar, so we actually are a member of the same sorority,
yes.
Delta Sigma Theta sorority. So thank you, Soar. Ebony, for the listeners who may be hearing about the MBAC for the first time, right? Can you give us a quick snapshot of the services that the MBAC has for small and minority-owned businesses?
Absolutely. It is a free and confidential service. We help businesses with contracting opportunities, scale-up, certification, which is the MBE, Minority Business Enterprise, WBE, Women Business Enterprise, Veteran, and Edge. And we also help with funding opportunities. The state has funding opportunities that they can also take advantage of with their certification.
Oh, funding opportunities. That seems to be probably a big one, right?
Yeah, it's some really great resources at the state level if you have that certification.
Well, since we're talking about it, can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Absolutely. So we have our microloan, which is at 0% interest up to $45,000. We have the WBE loan, which is 1.5% up to $500,000. And then we have the direct loan, which is up to 1.5% at 3%.
See, that's amazing. What does a business have to achieve, or what type of status level do they have to have, or certifications, I would imagine? What do they have to have in order to get any of that money?
Absolutely. So for some of those resources, you do have to be certified, whether it's MBE or WBE. One of the benefits to the WBE loan is that you don't have to necessarily have the WBE certification. You can self-identify as a woman-owned business, and long as you're 51% owner, you can take advantage of that loan. Of course, you do need to be bank ready. So it would be a good idea to just come in and have a conversation. Let's kind of pull back all the layers and figure out if you're someone that can qualify for those funds.
Okay, so when you say come in, so I would imagine you have a staff, you have a team of people, right?
Absolutely, an amazing team.
Tell us about your team, yeah, and like what types of, are they segmented particularly on a type of business, or is it a particularly focused on the type of service that you provide? How are they, you know, grouped, and who gets to see who?
So we do have special counselors who will help you with specific things. Mm-hmm. There is no specific industry. Anyone who needs help can come through our door. There's no wrong door. If you come through and if it's not something that we can help you with, we'll direct you to where you need to go. But anyone can come through the MBAC and we will provide that free and confidential service to you. But we do have a business counselor who typically helps with systems and contracting. We have our certification specialist who will help walk you through the state certification process. It is a pretty lengthy process. So just to have someone to be able to guide you through it makes things a little bit more seamless. And then we have our financial counselor who helps you with the state funding programs. And not just the state funding programs, but also any lending opportunities that we have in the area. They'll also assist you with that, as well as financial projections.
Oh my gosh, and it's free.
Everything is free.
And it's confidential.
Yeah,
so I bet you get a lot of people coming through your doors.
We do.
Tell us a little bit about what that looks like. Can someone come in your doors who just have an idea of what they may, of a business that they may want to start at some point?
So not to get too complicated,
okay.
The MBAC here, everyone's MBAC here, because I like to say that it's your MBAC. We are considered a tier two MBAC. We typically focus on businesses who've been in business for at least a year or more. But with that being said, we do not have a tier one in this area, but we do have a really robust ecosystem here within Toledo. And there's a lot of organizations who can help, even if it's not us. So I encourage you, don't feel uncomfortable about walking through the door. You don't have to self-assess yourself and decide whether or not you should or shouldn't come in. Come in. We'll help. We'll help you up until the point where we need to refer you to the best place for you to go to help with whatever startup needs that you may have. So, yeah, don't. I tell people, don't be discouraged about coming in. Just come.
Right. Okay. Because you're there. You're there to.
We're there to help.
Yes. Okay. Is there a moment or a success story you can share that captures maybe MVAC's work, one that still maybe sticks with you?
Absolutely. There's so many. Again, everything that we do is confidential, but there are a few stories that are out there. But I would say the most impactful one that sticks with me is there was a business owner who was just struggling to kind of get over the hump. And they weren't sure whether or not they were going to be able to stay in business. And after some time of just coming in and counseling and looking at the options, and again, this is not a siloed operation. There is a really robust, amazing ecosystem here in Toledo. And with everybody hands-on, we were able to not only secure funding for this young lady. She actually just did a ribbon cutting a few months ago, opened up her location. She's doing absolutely awesome, and she's actually thinking about opening a second location, and she was able to hire 5 people on her staff.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah. So, you know, you just mentioned, you know, how you guys all came to her aid and wrapped around all of her needs. So, you know, it seems like you don't just see businesses, right? I would imagine you see people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So many of the entrepreneurs you serve are doing this business thing, right, while they're managing families and partnerships, real life type of things, right? How often do you see that intersection show up in what their needs are?
Often. Really? Often. It's really unique when you see a business owner when it's family, whether it's husband and wife, mother and daughter, father and son, whatever the case may be. In one breath, it's like it's amazing because you're creating generational wealth and you're working together. But it's also something that you have to manage a little bit differently than a staff that you unplug from and you go home and you don't have to see them, especially if you live in the same household. So it happens often. But I think the best solution when working with family is to have systems in place and making sure that there is clear and open communication. And then also a really big thing is sometimes we hire family and we put them in roles, and we forget that they need the same type of training and investment as if we were to bring somebody else on. And we forget that. But we have to invest in those people and give them the same guidance as if it was someone else. And I think when we put those type of things in place, family-owned businesses are a lot more successful.
Oh, that's awesome. Because, you know, later on in the show, I am actually going to be interviewing 2 husband and wife teams.
Awesome.
So, you know, a lot of this, I'm sure they've had to deal with. So thank you for talking about that. So for families who want to be supportive but aren't sure how, what are some 1 or 2 practical ways that they can show up without overstepping, you know?
So do you mean like families when they're operating together, or
yes,
families when they're just supporting the business?
Well, you know, either or. Is there a particular situation that stands out to you? Is there one more that happens more than the other?
Absolutely. And we can just be frank, right?
Yeah.
Don't rely on your family to make your business successful. Don't do it. Okay. Absolutely, they should support. They should support the same way anyone who's walking off the streets should support. Just because they're family, they shouldn't ask for discounts. They should actually be the ones that's willing to pay full price because they know all the sweat equity that you've put into the business. They've seen it and experienced it firsthand. But at the same time, I think we often make mistakes with small businesses thinking that our family is going to be what keeps our door open. Yes, we want them to support, but please don't make the mistake of thinking that's what's going to make you successful. So that happens often with small businesses, thinking that, why is my family not in here every single day? They don't got time.
Okay.
They don't have time.
And they're probably not as interested in your business as you are.
That is that part right there. That's more real than anything, even more than the time.
Yeah.
They love you. They're happy for you. They want to see you be successful. But if it's not their thing, you can't force them to be there every day.
Right.
To keep your doors open.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So any suggestions or conversations that you think families should have early on, especially when you're talking about a husband and wife team, right, before the stress comes in, especially the stress of money issues?
Right.
You know, before that becomes a problem. Do you have any tips for husband and wife teams when it surrounds financials?
Identify your weakness up front. If you understand where those weak points are, then you could provide support before you're drowning. Again, like I said earlier, a lot of times we get into these roles and we say to ourselves, like, well, this is our business and we're just going to do it. And we get into the grind culture of just getting it done. But you need to invest the same way you would invest in your people or people that you want to trust to grow your business. You have to invest in your partner and find out what their weak points are. And maybe they need some training in an area, or maybe they need to go back to school about something, but they're going to need that support because burnout is real when you're in a partnership, especially with families. And when you get burnt out and you lose the motivation for something that was a dream, it's easy to fail.
And I would imagine that would be devastating for a husband and wife team.
Absolutely. But it happens.
Yes.
Too often.
Yes. Okay. If someone's listening right now and is a minority-owned business or thinking about becoming one, what is the first step you'd encourage them to take, especially with MBAG?
Call. Just come through the door. Don't worry about if you have everything together. That's what we're there for. We're there to provide support, not necessarily to tell you what to do, but to just give you the tools that you need to feel empowered enough to make those decisions for your own business. Move. My word this year is move. Just move. Pick up the phone, call someone, visit the website, request an appointment.
Right. Well, you mentioned website. How do people get in touch with the MBAC?
So you can go to the Toledo Regional Chamber of Commerce webpage and then click down on Minority Business Assistance Center and you can request an appointment.
Okay. Well, Ebony, I am so happy that you were with us today.
Thank you for having
me. Is there any of the last words you might want to say? I have one more question. When you think about the future of minority-owned business, does it give you hope?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm excited. I'm so excited. There's so many creatives and innovative people. And I just believe that especially the generation under us, they are going to bust through the seams.
Really?
So I'm really excited for what it looks like. And even feeling like your back is against the wall, that's when people, they fight the hardest and they come out on top. So I'm excited about what it looks like.
Oh, great. Well, I'm sure they're in good hands with you being around, right, to help them. Well, and I thank you so much for being on the show today. Your space, I'm just glad that you're there.
Thank
because
you.
I know that you care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ebony. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be right back after this brief break and with our next guest. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stacey Fowler again with Moment of Truth. So as I mentioned earlier, we have a husband and wife team here, business owners here in the Toledo area that are doing fantastic work. Okay, we have Mr. Doug and Curtina Keyshawn. And Doug is a salon owner, right? And his wife, Curtina, owns a clothing boutique. And listen to this. They are sharing space under the same roof. Doug's business is called Studio 329. You know, they're just doing amazing work together. More than just being a business, if I may say so myself, because I do frequent both of their establishments. They are really community people. So we'd like to get into this conversation. First, I want to know from the both of you, what were you doing before you were doing this? Did you start this after you were married, before you were married? How did that work?
It started off, I was always doing hair. That's all I did for the past 32 years.
Okay.
And we met and we decided to become a family and got married. So she moved from Pittsburgh to here. At the time, she was planned on working at Alcoa, but Alcoa closed down in Miami. And from there, she was a stay-at-home mom, and she got bored. And so she used to come to the salon and make baskets and call them diaper baskets or whatever. And from there, they started buying them. She used to do Easter baskets. They started buying them. She was baking. And so she started doing earrings out of a little clothesline. Oh. This is how her boutique started, from just one string of earrings into what it evolved into today.
Oh, my.
And so from there, she just came up with all these creative ideas to integrate each other. And I followed her on it. And we agreed, disagreed. We had time out. Then we came together and collaborated. And this is how we evolved from over the past 17 years.
17 years. Wow.
18.
Uh-oh. So yes. Tell me. Tina, if I can call you Tina.
Yes.
Right? What was that like for you? Why did you start coming into the salon? I know you said you were bored. So you were at home with children then at that point, right?
Well, actually, I worked for Alcoa. I was a safety engineer.
Okay.
And then I moved to the Toledo area to start my family with my husband. And I was always a creative person, so I went from doing baskets, like he said, to baking. I love to bake. And just thinking of ways I can get out the house.
Okay.
And so he had, you know, the hair salon, and you saw a lot of women, you know, stylish women who like to shop and things like that. And so that's how the boutique kind of came about, selling earrings, handbags.
Yeah, so you knew what they wanted,
right?
You said, let me bring it to you.
And I love fashion as well, too.
Right.
So it was a no-brainer for me.
So let's talk about your boutique.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the process, right? Mm-hmm. Because I know you travel a lot to get these clothes. What does that look like?
That means a lot to me. Yeah. I'm not one that just shops online. I spend a lot of time traveling to trade shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I can touch, feel, actually see the piece to bring to my ladies and to know what they like. I've grown to know my base and what people like, and I bring it to, you know, front door for them.
And I would imagine a lot of that is, like you say, you know your base. You probably do a lot of personal shopping.
I do a lot of personal shopping. That's not the easiest thing to do, but I do love doing it because it gives me another way. I'm not just selling retail. It gives me a way to connect with the women.
Mm-hmm.
To make them feel seen and heard, and you know, a lot of women come to me to kind of build their confidence.
You know,
I have women that have lost weight and want to start something new. And my main goal is to get them out of their comfort zone.
Right.
I love to do that.
Well, they come in and see Doug, and then finish it off.
It's a one-stop shop. Get their hair done, and then come see me to shop.
It's amazing. Some of my clients, they have y'all be working behind the scenes. Y'all be setting this up. You be late so I can go shopping.
Yeah, they're saying,
oh my gosh.
He's pushing his appointments back so they can come in there and shop with me. And I'm like, well, if it's working, it's working.
So that's what we're talking about, right? When I mentioned earlier, you guys are under the same roof.
Yes.
So, right. Doug, take us through, because I know that this is a huge, I guess, labor of love for you, where you guys are right now, right?
Yes.
Because you went from moving from one space to the other just a couple of years ago. Tell us a little bit about that process.
Which process?
Well, the moving from one location to the other.
It was a huge undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tremendous burden on myself as well as my family. as well as my clients. I had to step away from the salon for about 5 months to complete the project. It got to the point where a lot of my guys didn't even see it be coming to fruition, but I had faith in it, and my wife and my kids, they gave me everything I needed to complete it.
Right.
And plus my clients and the team that I had with me, you know, once you get around a group of people that believe in you, it gives you more energy that you need to complete the task there. And it was something that was needed for Toledo. The space that we created, and may I say, the space that we created is the space that we purchased. So we are business owners of our own establishment.
So you went from leasing to owning your own space.
Correct.
That's amazing.
And it was just about getting leverage. It's not about being a business, but when you're in business, you want to have leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And that way we could drive down our overhead costs and still elevate our profits,
right.
Scale up our profits. So the process of doing it was, it was drooling, but, you know, I learned a lot from it.
Mm-hmm.
Would I do it again? Most definitely. Would I be willing to help other entrepreneurs out down there? Yes. It's something, the salon that we have and the boutique that my wife has, it was something that Toledo really needed,
mm-hmm.
to scale up our small business community and provide us a unique service that we feel no other salons or boutiques offer in under one roof in Toledo. And so that's what we really sought out to do. And the way we designed it, a lot of people ask us, who is your architect? Me and my wife.
Mm.
We designed it ourselves, and we took it to our engineers and architects, and they created, and they loved it.
Right. So, you know, you brought up, you know, helping other entrepreneurs, and I know firsthand what you're doing, but we need to tell everybody what you do, because what you designed over there, talk about the suite spaces and how that allows people to become entrepreneurs. And then not only that, I know you have another space over there where you have pop-up shops and things like that. Let's talk about that.
Well, I'm gonna add the brains into this. I'm gonna say this. We got in arguments about designing the place. My idea was that I'm a numbers person, and I felt that everything needs to make sense because we're paying for it.
Right.
But things weren't working that way, and so she was like, babe, let's be creative. Let's let the space be a space, not overcrowded. And so we downsized everything and scaled it up where it's spaced without being crowded. Most salons you go into, they're packed into space. Our salon is spread out where people feel comfortable. The whole space is 6,300 square feet.
Okay.
We have, the concept behind it is we meet you at whatever level of the profession you're entering in. We got an entry level, which is our open concept where you're on the floor. And then as you want to evolve and want your own space, but you're not ready to get a regular space, we got hybrid suites. From the hybrid suites, we go into our standard suites, which is about 120 square feet. Then we go into our deluxe suites, which is like about 160 square feet, where two professionals can operate in, or you got some professions that does multiple services. It equips them very well. And all the suites are water and heat, fully furnished, and then as well as our event space where we have, we just had a paint and sip event. We have another event coming up, the Blazer Remix. We do pop-up shops there. We host classes there. And we came up with this concept behind the fact of let's bring community inside the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
So we're community-based. We're community-driven. We do fundraisers there. We even have people come out and do education about home buyer workshops.
Lupus awareness.
Right.
So it's a community, it's a great space where you can get multiple services and as well as you can host events there.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who have events there, and they do it, I think, oftentimes just because of who you two are, and they know that they're going to feel the love, right? So Cortina, let's talk about your clientele. Now, I know we talked about personal shopping, right?
Yes.
The loyalty, I guess, right? I'm sure that you have people that have been coming to you forever.
Oh, wow. Since I started, about 15 years.
And yeah. you have, what is it?
I call it the VIP group.
Yes, your VIP group.
Yes, I have
group.
A VIP group.
About that.
very loyal customers. And I do reward them with incentives monthly, mm-hmm. End of the year parties. Just trying to connect women together right. and support one another for networking. It's like a group. When once they know they're VIP, it's like a whole nother thing. Yeah, I'm VIP, so right. I get to come to the thing first. Or, you yeah. know, they get invited to certain events, early access to it, mm-hmm. Different things like that.
So it's collaboration and networking.
Yeah. Yep.
It's helping, always. Helping each other, yes. right? Okay.
May I ask something
She's
about her VIPs?
Me. Yes.
A couple of things. One, they are really, when she have her VIP, her events, they really come early and they really talk about them being VIPs.
Do they?
And they, if you're not a VIP, they don't want you around.
And, very territorial.
And then it came to the point where she had to scale it up to her lux.
Yes.
Because so many, certain people, and these are some people that don't want to be around. They want first dibs, and they don't want to be around a bunch of people.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. she had to scale up to accommodate her thing, her event. And another thing that I really learned from her business was I had the opportunity to go to Vegas with her a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And it was sometimes I seen some nice apparel. And she's like, no, this is not what my brand is about. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. cute, but I'm a classic style. And then another time was, she was buying just three items right. of this one beautiful piece. And I'm like, why are you going to buy about a dozen? They going to sell. She said, no, I am a boutique. It's you buy it or you don't get it. It's only, okay. I'm not having five or six women wearing the same piece.
The same, yeah.
And so I really learned from, I admire her about that. And so she really knows her clients. She really right. knows her clients. She really studies them and she really takes them and really builds them. I seen how she built women and dresses them, and I applaud her for that.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about you two as a couple, right?
Oh, boy.
Have there anybody, well, you know, and doing business, right? Because business owners know how tough it is to run a business. Have there been any times when one of you wanted to quit and the other one had to?
I don't feel like I've ever wanted to quit. And I think working together, being husband and wife, of course, you know, you have your husband and wife issues, but we don't bring them to work. Not saying that we never came to work mad at each other, but he's in his space and I'm in mine.
Right.
So, and us just being business people, we know we have to cut it off. We try not to spread that amongst our staff or, you know, mm-hmm. we don't want to bring that energy into the business. You know, we all family there, and I think they look at us as such, so mm-hmm. we don't bring that negative vibe into the business. I mean, I don't know what you think, but
as far as quitting, I don't think I've never seen that in her.
Nice.
And I don't think she's seen that in me. I think it's been times where we seem to be in tough, but
yeah. Rough,
we always communicate. We meet on Mondays,
yeah.
And we do meetings on Mondays, and we talk about things. And I've learned sometimes we have our business may be up together. Mm-hmm. Then one time it may be she's up, I'm down. Mm-hmm. But as long as she's up, it leaves hope. Then one time she's down and I'm up, it leaves hope. And so right. it always balances out. In our industry, it's never the same every week.
Okay.
But as far as giving up, it's been, I think both our businesses have been very blessed. And so I think that we build off of that and understand that, hey, just because it's great today, it's not going to be great tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we make the best of each day.
Well, and you just mentioned your staff being family. What's the size of your staff? Is
19 or 18.
Oh, my.
It might be 19 now.
Yes,
that's big.
We just, no, it might be 20. I think we just hired two more people this last week.
Really?
Yes.
So you don't find that. That's really different for Toledo, isn't it? You don't find that. Did you have a model that somewhere in some other city that you wanted to follow? Or really, was this just like out of your love for community?
A combination of both. And with my wife at the other salon that we built, that we blessed another business owner with, because we left a turnkey building because we wanted to chase our dreams of ownership. So that was probably one of, I'm not getting away, but that was probably one of the disheartening things that we did, mm-hmm. that we opened the opportunity for another beauty and this professional to step in. No one that we knew or we reached out to could step up, and so we ended up giving it back to the owner.
Oh.
So he benefited tremendously, and I had the chance of meeting the new owners, and they really thanked us.
Really?
Because they said all they had to do was walk in.
Oh.
So, but we, one of my mentors, he has four salon suites in Orlando, Florida. And because we got a vacation home down in Orlando. So periodically we go down there and we spend a couple hours with him, and we had the opportunity to tour his salon suites. And then just listen to a couple of our own team members, they needed private space.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how the suites probably came about. And the customization of them really came from my wife.
That's nice.
She wanted the bigger spaces. I'm not a bad person, but I'm a numbers person. If it don't make sense, it don't make sense.
Well, okay. So you mentioned something that I really want to touch on pretty quickly, if we can. Now that you're owning your physical location, I would imagine that's brought you additional, well, first of all, income, but so you're on another level now, right? What has it brought to you? What has that meant to you, like practically in your daily lives? Has it changed what you do?
I don't think it changed me. Anything it changed was my appreciation of what we've been blessed with.
Nice.
Our appreciation, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we take for granted the simple things, mm-hmm. and then... But, you know, I'm a faith person, and so every morning I wake up, I thank God, and sometimes I have sat in the salon and just cried, just thanking God for the establishment that he allowed us to lead and present to our staff, our community, and our customers.
Right.
And so it's just not another salon.
Yeah.
It is a salon.
Right.
That people walk in and like, this is something that's in New York or you expect to see in California. No, it's right here in Toledo.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And the service that's offered there from the staff and the boutique is amazing.
Tell the audience where you're located and how they can reach out to you.
Studio 329 and K&A Boutique is located at 4062 Monroe Street, one between Toledo Hospital and Douglas Road. The salon can be with studio329salon.com, and as well as on Facebook, and K&A Boutique is?
It's K&A.com. That's K&A.com.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Doug and Katina, for being with
thank
us
you.
Today. And guys, we'll be right back after this message. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. This is Stacy Fowler again with Moment of Truth. We have, this is the third group of folks that we're talking to today, and we actually have saved the best for last. So I'm so excited. We have with us today the owners, husband and wife team of Superior Made RV Resort and office spaces. Ooh. Yay! So we have Mr. Nate and Mrs. Alicia Lawson.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome. We're
so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
I'm so excited. So if you out there don't know about what they do, then you are in for a treat. So what I'd like to do is let's just get started, jump right in. Tell us about what you do.
Okay. So what we do is, Superior Made RV Resort and office spaces. I'm going to start with the office spaces first because that's what gave us our name. Mm-hmm. Superior Made Office Spaces, downtown Toledo, mm-hmm. where we decided after coming back from Talladega, starting a park down there, and then coming back to Toledo. We wanted to come back to Toledo to do the same thing here, start a resort. We decided to purchase some buildings downtown Toledo because of a Metro Parks speech we saw. They talked about how important it was to invest in downtown. Mm-hmm. We said, let's do it. Dave did a great job of, you know, convincing us. We did it. Superior Made Spaces, we did that. Our daughter, Arlinda Self, she runs those buildings. And so she does a great job with making it affordable for people who want to own office space. Okay. So to make that short, she does a great job. She's full. She helps people that just need a small office to rent out individually. You got your own door, your own space. It's affordable downtown.
Nice.
So then we said, okay, let's do that RV park. Dave calls. He said, you guys are perfect to own the actual RV park. We had 116 acres. We'd like to split that. You guys own the RV park portion. We own the land. And we picked you guys because of the Talladega experience, okay,
right,
that we heard about. And that's how we got into the RV park portion. So got into RV park, though, because of this man saying he just wants something. Instead of doing rental property that we had, that's how we got our investment, our seed money.
Okay.
Had a lot of rental property. 08, market crashed. Bought a bunch of houses here in Toledo. Cashed them in for the RV park because he said he started doing RV parks. I mean, houses after 15 years. And, you know, he's like, I want a piece of concrete I can just sweep off. And so that's how we got into the RV park arena. Okay. So you can take it as to why we actually got into the RV park portion. Tell me your story.
When I was a kid, you know, my mom and dad and my cousins, all of us, we went camping. And when she mentioned sweep off the concrete, the reason why that concept came about is because when you are a landlord in this town and you rent homes and somebody moves out, you always got to go back and refresh the home for the new person to move in. And over time, it got kind of wore me down, more or less. And the camping bug had hit me to say, hey, why don't we own a campground? They bring their home with them and they take it with them when they leave. And all we got to do is sweep off the concrete and wait for the next person to pull in. So that's how that concept came about. And I have to be careful sometimes with things that I say to my wife, because she take it to heart and, yeah, that sounds a
make
great idea.
Happen.
And then make it
make
happen.
It happen.
Yes, you know we're doing it. And I have to be careful with what I say sometimes. That's all. Mm-hmm.
So you said that and she said, okay, let's do that.
I Googled
RV
park. Okay, I said, well, give me some land, put four specs together. I said, you know, we want to be able to pay cash. We wanted to be in the you know, some place where it's hot. And I put some other specs in. Alabama came up. I said, honey, pack up. We're going to Alabama.
Oh, my. Did you know anybody?
Never even been in the state.
Wow.
Not even driving through.
So I said, how fun will that be? Right across from Talladega. And we are African American. Woo, I can't wait. So,
oh, what a ride that will be,
it was
right?
A ride. But, you know, I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a year's worth of marketing to let people know we're coming.
Okay.
And we're going to say, every time they say something bad, we're going to say, I love you. And that's what I did. So when they said something like, stick with your race or do whatever, I said, I love you. Can't wait to meet you. And what we need to do is have a beer summit. Yeah. And then so by the time a year was up, people were loving us. Oh. Talladega couldn't wait. We got in touch with the NASCAR. We were right across from NASCAR. They got in touch with us. And they said, hey, we'd like you guys to start a diversity team here at NASCAR.
Yes.
So that's what we did. We went down there and we started the – so now we had, like, you know, more African-Americans coming to NASCAR because we were there. And,
traveling through that part of Alabama that normally wouldn't.
Yeah. Right.
Turns out there's still a lot of great people in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. 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 We had a guy come around. This guy would not look like your typical person that would befriend us, right? He came around and brought us soup every day. He said, I know you guys are working hard. They came around. When I say you would think you should be scared, you know, everybody we told him was going to Alabama. People left us. You're going to Alabama. I'm just going to say you're out of here now. Bye. You know, they left us. Like, I'm not going to support that because I'm not coming to Alabama. And I was like, let me tell you about the people we've met. They are different from us, but they brought us soup. They brought us sausages. They brought us food. We had lunch, breakfast, lunch, and dinner while we were.
Arlene, come over and help me cut the grass.
We did. And that was amazing. So the bad stuff we got into was very rare. We had more support. We had people coming by saying, if anything happens to you guys, you need anything, let us know. That's what we got down in Talladega.
That's
so
awesome.
Having the opportunity to do it here before I go there, you had asked a question. You said, how did you get started, you know, with money is always the big problem. Right.
Yeah.
When it comes to doing something this hard. We started with, okay, so this is the divorce part I wanted to tell you about.
Oh.
Yeah, how we almost got divorced.
Okay.
With me doing.
Please.
That was this is the part. So he's at work one day. We're going to our 9-to-5s. Okay. I'm bored. I haven't done 9-to-5 now for 20 years. I'm like, you know, I got to do something different. I want to do something different. So 08 came. Susie Orman said the housing market's going to crash. See, she fall in my ear.
Yes.
You know, she said the market's going to crash 2 years earlier. So I said, I didn't want to tell him that I'm preparing for this. This is where it gets hard. 08 came, market crashed. We're in Fort Wayne because I'm a pharmaceutical rep. He's a truck driver.
Okay.
They have transferred us there. We're living there. I called Toledo. I called a person here. I said, hey, I'd like to put in an order for 20 houses, right? She said, I could do 10. And I said, put them in. So we put a bid in on 10 houses. Wow. He didn't know, you know. And so I got 6 of them. And when he got home, I said, hey, honey, we own 6 houses in Toledo. And this dude freaked out,
yeah,
right?
He's had like, you been talking about that?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
You know.
Not at all.
But when he saw that spreadsheet and he saw that, look, after he calmed down, of course.
Okay.
You know, it took a minute. It took about a week. But he did come back to the table. As you see, we're here.
Yes.
He came back and he's like, okay, what you got? And I said, look, I've increased our net worth right now about $350,000 in a week, in a day.
Oh, my.
I think we should do this. And the houses were, he's like, so what's the plan? You're going to quit your job. I'm going to keep mine because we need the money to fix the houses up.
Okay.
And we're going to do this. And he said, okay. So that's where we started.
And you were doing this from
Fort
Indiana?
Wayne.
Yeah. Really?
There you
yeah.
go. You caught on. This was hard. This is where the other part of the divorce almost came. Because he's like, now how are we going to do this? Because I'm upset. I said, well, here's the plan. This is the rest of it. On Friday, we're going to go down to Toledo, and we're going to fix them up and come back on Sunday. And that's what we did for 6 months. In 6 months, we were able to match his income that he lost from the trucking industry.
That's amazing.
And that's what we did. And we bought more houses. So that's what we did. And that's how we got started. So we cashed all those in and got the land and was able to move forward with our own, with self-funding.
Right.
For what we wanted to do.
So, okay, you did that. You went to Alabama. Mm-hmm. That was fabulous. Mm-hmm. Why did you come back to Toledo?
This is home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you wanted to come back.
The main thing is this home. We knew we would have more support here at home with familiar faces and familiar people.
Mm-hmm.
Talladega, we recognized that Talladega was, you know, it's only 2 races a year. And you do quite well during the race, don't get me wrong, but it's only...
I was going to say, don't forget to say the main reason why, which was we wanted to come back home, but it had became a big deal for us being African-American in the RV resort industry. We didn't know that that was such a big deal. We didn't even recognize the fact that we were black doing this. We were just like, he brought it up and we did it.
It's just a business.
Just a business.
He brought it up. You said, I'm going to make it happen. And then we did it.
And it was there. And then we got all these. So we had our grand opening in Talladega. It was for 1 weekend. I said in June 12th, 13th, whatever it was, we're gonna open. Then what happened was it filled up in a day, right? Within a day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 200 sites gone. Then we got a bunch of phone calls, people calling saying, well, I thought I want to be there. I just want to touch the park. I'm African-American. I want to be around people like me who camp because you rarely see us when we're camping, right?
Right.
Camping 30 years. Don't see a lot of us there. I think we rarely ever saw anyone. But we never thought about it either.
Right.
We just loved outdoors. So I was like, huh, I think we got something special here, huh? So let's open up another weekend. So we did that, open up another weekend. So now we got 2 weekends. But that filled up fast within a day. And then I got more complaints. I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to open up all of June, and that'll be our grand opening month. And all of June, every day, we were full.
Wow.
For all of June. Yes. So we recognized that we were on to something magnificent. Okay. And at that point, so we gave business classes during one per week, to just say, you got businesses here in Alabama. We talked to a lot of people who got land. What do they have in Alabama? A bunch of land. They just didn't know what to do with it.
So now you were teaching entrepreneurship, basically, yes, to people who would come because they just wanted to be close to you?
Yeah.
Wow.
We changed the landscape. We're there, and we were so busy and so full on the weekends and during the week. We had about 5 RV parks around us. We went to them and said, hey, can you take our overflow? Hmm. And we'll still make all these people founding members.
I bet they didn't say no.
They didn't say no. They worked with us, and we all worked together. It was probably 5 pit stops.
We still communicate today.
And we still communicate, yeah.
That's great.
So that's what we did. And the banks were just so happy. They would knock on our door, hey, would you like a loan?
Okay.
Right. So we were like, you know what? We'll take a small. We'll help them out and take it home. If it was nice for them to come to us instead of us having
very
to
very nice.
Them. Yeah. Short story before that. My husband says, you know, let's just try to go get a loan. I said, honey, I'm tired of messing with you here now. I don't have time for this. You already know we're going to walk in there and they're going to say no. And but he said, look, we're going to do this. We went to about 5 or 6 banks. We got the money to afford to do it. We still got to know. Okay. I'm not going to mess around with this. I already knew. Okay.
Yeah.
And they would say yes up to the point of getting our license. Like we sent them I would hold back our license for a reason, right? Mm. Oh, I forgot to send it. Oh, man, I'll send it next week, you know, just to get it going.
Right.
And then I would, got to send them my license. We got the last minute. Send them our license, and I don't get nobody else on the phone. I said, Nate, you have wasted my time with this. I was so mad. So we were always self-funded. You know, because of that reason.
So you were down there then, and you were growing like by leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you came back because you wanted to be near support.
Yeah.
It just got to be overwhelming for you?
We thought we could do the same. It was so good that we thought we could do the same thing here. What if we come down here and let's look for some land here and do it here?
Mm.
And that's what we thought. And then we never thought we'd get that phone call from Dave. As a matter of fact, I thought, okay, let's get out of the whole RV park thing. We'll never find something around here. How lucky will we be to get something 10 minutes away from home? Oh, my God. The minute we gave up, Dave called the next day.
Yeah.
I call him God. And
this is with Metro Parks,
Metro
right?
Parks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so, is that right? Go ahead with that. You wanted to say something. I saw you.
Oh, I was just saying, coming back home, the reason why we're down is because it's just me and her.
Right.
It takes more than 2 people sometimes to run an RV park that has a little 100, 200 RV sites. And people say we make it look easy. It's very, very hard.
Oh, I bet.
To try to, you know, you got to keep, if you figure you got 100 people there, 100 RVs there, you got 200 people there because you're just in twos, you know. So you have to, 2 people trying to manage 200 people. Yeah, that's where I'm coming from. So basically coming back home was knowing that we would have more support because we have more people we could reach out to for help.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have more people to give interviews. Like, we got overwhelmed with a lot of people were interested in our story.
Oh.
If you go Google, like, Talladega, and we had 9,000 shares and all this stuff, and he got tired of doing interviews, so.
Okay.
It was just me.
And I imagine it wasn't hard to sell.
No.
You're
no,
down there no. right across from yeah. NASCAR and
yeah.
everything.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah.
So you came home, they called, and you guys made the deal work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so tell us where you are. Where is the park?
So
the resort.
Oh, okay. Superior May RV Resort at this time is located at 4035 South Berkey Road in Swanton Township, Ohio, right? South of the Toledo Airport.
Yeah.
Right.
We're excited to be opening, you know, June 12th and 13th this year.
Okay.
So that's our big excitement this year.
So, and you're, if for people who know history, you're right across the street from, what's the name of that old
Griffin? Griffin's Hines Farm.
Griffin's Hines Park. Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. That's kind of exciting.
It's exciting.
Okay. So, you know, we talked about what you went through, and, you know, you talked about divorce maybe a couple of times.
35
years. Are the plans for you now? Now that you're there, what are your plans?
So our biggest plan is to grow. You just continue to grow and connect with the community.
Mm.
I would love to connect with TPS schools. And I camped at Gonkel you know, my sixth grade year.
Right.
And that was my experience in my cowboy boots that nobody told me was not for winter. I went out there at, you know, was it the RV, what was it called? When you went to store camp.
Oh, yes.
And camp so store, what I would like to do is have the kids come out in, you know, during the winter time or the summertime. So that's what we want to do. We really want to connect with the community. And we have people like Tanya Ridley Baldwin. She's coming out to speak at the park. We got, you know, a lot of good people that'll be out there speaking to the community to really just connect us all. Mm. We got our beach. It's going to be called Harmony Beach. That's for bringing people together. You know, it's for bringing, we're culturally just in love with different cultures. The more different you are, I think we just fall in love.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So
we
love love and love people, love the outdoors.
Okay.
And so I'm glad Dave saw that, Dave Zink with Metro Park. So I'm excited about that. We're excited about that.
And you know, thank you for doing what you do, because I think a lot of people, especially people of color, don't think about RV resorting.
Yeah.
But I know that you've sparked, you know, some you know, excitement around that.
Yeah.
And I know that you're pretty full right now. So congratulations to both of you.
Yes.
Thank you.
What is your website?
SuperiorMayRVResort.com.
Thank you for joining us on A Moment of Truth. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The Local Thread is a production of WGTE Public Media. Episodes can be heard weeknights at 7 on FM 91 or anytime at WGTE.org.